Today on the Endurance Hour podcast, episode 225, planning for two 70.3s in one season, how important is bilateral breathing in the water, how to make indoor cycling more effective, and first-time marathon training before your first Ironman race. Today's episode is brought to you by How to Swim Faster in 30 Days, a freestyle guide to dropping time in the pool or open water. This multimedia training plan includes 42 instructional swim lesson videos and demonstrations above and below the water, plus a detailed 30-day calendar designed to help you swim faster and more efficiently than ever before. Go to endurancehour.com/swimfaster25 for 25% off your plan today. Each order comes with a $47 off discount code to blue70.com. Full details on endurancehour.com/swimfaster25. If you like your question featured on the podcast, send us an email to endurancehour@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail from your desktop, laptop, or smartphone at speakpipe.com/endurancehour. That's speakpipe.com/endurancehour.
This question comes from Mandy. Hey, Wendy, I'm planning my 2018 triathlon season, and I would like to do two 70.3 events. Can you recommend any beginner-friendly 70.3s for me? When you're trying to plan a 70.3 or a 140.6, some things that you want to keep in mind are, number one, the time of year that you're planning the event. For either distance, 70.3 or 140.6, you want to know that about 12 weeks preceding the event is going to be the highest volume and race-specific training. So you want to make sure you are able to train those 3 months. So if you pick a November event, know that September, October, August are going to be the times that you really need to be putting in some quality training. And if you can't, don't pick a fall event. If you live in a colder climate and you don't like to train in the winter, then I would avoid choosing an April, May, or June event, because then you're going to be spending the majority of your training in January, February, March, and April, depending on race day. So definitely keep that in mind. As far as a beginner-friendly race, for me, beginner-friendly races are usually flat courses, such as Arizona 70.3, Texas 70.3, Maine 70.3. Chattanooga 70.3 isn't necessarily flat. It's kind of rolling, but it's a really pretty course. I would suggest that as a beginner-friendly race. At least the one in May, it was a flat run course as well. But specific to you, beginner-friendly to you might not be beginner-friendly to me. So always choose a race that is going to be tailored towards your strengths. So if riding hills is one of your strengths, you might want to pick a hilly course like Mont Tremblant, or I can't remember the name of the races in Canada. Well, I know Mont Tremblant is in Canada. Lake Placid 70.3 is going to have some challenging hills. Coeur d'Alene is going to have some hills. So you want to consider that for you. So again, the three things to keep in mind are time of year, beginner to you, make sure you pick a race to suit your strengths. And since you want to do two 70.3s, I would pick them, you know, 2 or 3 months apart. I wouldn't do one in June and then another one in July. If you're going to pick a June race, maybe the next one you want to do will be August and September. So it just depends on your schedule and what your goals are. And, you know, your goals will probably change after you complete your first one. So thanks for asking the question. Best wishes for success with your season.
If you're new to triathlon, you're welcome to download for free our Sprint Triathlon Training Plan for Beginners. It's a professionally produced and guided 8-week multimedia training program, which includes welcome videos before every training week, weekly swim workout videos, detailed swim, bike, and run workouts, target heart rate, training zone guidelines, nutrition and hydration tips, race day training tips, and more. Go to endurancehour.com/freesprint to download it today.
This question is from Cindy about bilateral breathing in the pool. Hey, Wendy, how important is it to bilateral breathe while you're swimming? I've heard that it's best to do that for open water, and I'm really struggling with it as I practice in the pool, so I just wanted to hear your thoughts on if you recommend it or not and why. Hey, Cindy, often when I'm teaching adults how to swim and stroke technique, typically, they breathe every two strokes, meaning left arm, right arm, then they breathe. And they say the same thing to me, like they've been told that they should bilateral breathe every third stroke or every fifth stroke, because it's better for them. Mostly, they give their answer for open water. Really, the best breathing pattern for each person is going to depend on what you need to do to get a good breath. You need to be able to breathe efficiently without thinking before you can really master the mechanics of the stroke. The benefit of bilateral breathing is it helps you work on body rotation, because when you swim, you're either on your left hip or right hip. And for those people, specifically beginners who don't know, they will often swim on the hip that the opposite hip to their breathing. So if they breathe dominantly on the right side, they're constantly on their left hip. So throwing in that bilateral breath is going to guarantee that they're going to be on their right hip. So it just kind of helps you get a feel for what it feels like to be on that right hip. A disadvantage of bilateral breathing is if you're not comfortable breathing to the non-dominant side, you're not going to be comfortable with bilateral breathing. The best way to get comfortable before you start bilateral breathing and adding in that non-dominant side, if you have one, is to only breathe to the non-dominant side to get comfortable with that. So during your workouts, maybe in the warm-up or maybe sometime in the main set or maybe on a completely different day, the number one focus is for you to only breathe to the non-dominant side. Once you get comfortable with that, trying to do, you know, bilateral every third or every fifth stroke is the way to go. You just don't want to jump into it too much too soon. So again, the best answer is whatever is most comfortable for you, but it's good to know the pros and cons of each. I appreciate the question. If you have any more, please don't hesitate to ask any more swimming questions or triathlon related questions and keep us posted on your progress.
You're invited to join the T2 Endurance Club group on Facebook. It's dedicated to discussing all things endurance sports with an emphasis on community and support. Every week, Coach Wendy and I will join the conversation with additional advice and feedback, plus special health and fitness challenges. Just search T2 Endurance Club on Facebook and request to join.
Ruben asks, recently I registered for the Syracuse 70.3 race in June of 2018. I will be training in New York City from January to June, so I likely won't be outside for bike ride until the last 2 months of training. Any advice to make indoor ride effective? I have a trainer and have played with trainer road a bit. Just looking for some advice and some votes of confidence in this plan. Hey, Ruben, thanks for asking the question. Since I moved to Georgia about a year and a half ago, coming from Fort Collins, Colorado, the best place to ride a bike outside my door, I have spent probably 90% or more of my training indoors due to the lack of safety riding from my house. And I just don't have a car to transport me and my bike to safe places to ride. So my goal, you know, even in the summer months, is to get outside at least once a week when my husband's off work and I could use the car. A lot of times we go together. So there's a lot of benefits to riding indoors. I feel like this is probably the strongest I've ever gotten because of my indoor riding. And I'm just very focused on my power, my rate of perceived effort, my cadence. I mix it up with hills, tempo, threshold speed, skills and drills, endurance throughout the week. So my best advice to you is, when you're riding indoors during those winter months living in New York City or wherever you live, for anyone else out here, just keep it really simple and ride your planned outdoor workout indoors with regards to duration and intensity. So if you're following a training plan, which I highly recommend for a 70.3 event, it's your first one specifically, when your training plan calls for a tempo ride, let's just say, you know, 2 by 10 minutes at tempo heart rate or tempo power zones, just do the same thing indoors. If your workout calls for an endurance ride in zones 1 and 2, whether you do rate of perceived effort, heart rate, or power, do that same workout indoors. I think that's the best way to train, is to stick to your plan, whether it's indoors or outdoors. That way you really just keep the guesswork out of it. A lot of others would suggest that you get a Wahoo Kicker, Zwift trainer compatible with power. Again, I think the best way to improve in cycling, one of the best ways to improve in cycling is to train with power, as long as you set your zones 1 through 5 by doing a threshold test, functional threshold test, and setting your zones based on that number, and you train according to your power, not the power of others. I think you're really going to see huge gains doing that indoors versus outdoors, because doing it indoors, any training indoors, you take away the elements, the terrain, the weather, the wind, the heat, the cold, and you're very constant. I do think it's important to train outdoors because that's where you're going to be racing, and the ability to train outdoors during the final 2 months of your 70.3 preparation is great, because that's where you really want to be race-specific intensity and race-specific endurance, race-specific terrain, and ride on courses that are going to be similar to the course that you're racing on. So hopefully that helps. Again, there's a lot of apps. There's a lot of types of workouts you can check out online. Something I created myself is Cycling Made Easy. I have 4x4 week workouts on Training Peaks, as well as PDF format, 4 weeks of skills and drills, 4 weeks of endurance, 4 weeks of threshold and speed, and then a 4 week program that kind of mixes it all up. That's another way you can kind of take these workouts during your base season, the first couple months of your training plan, and kind of mix it up. So you're making sure you're getting a variety of skills and drills, endurance, and tempo work in there.
In addition to PDF downloads, Endurance Hour training plans are now available on Training Peaks. Go to endurancehour.com for more details.
Patricia asks, "Hey Wendy, I just signed up for my first Ironman in about 12 months. Do you recommend that I train and race a marathon before my first Ironman, because I've never run a marathon either?" Hey Patricia, thanks for asking the question. It's one that I receive very often. A little bit about my experience. My first Ironman was in 1997, and I had never run a marathon either. I got injured after I ramped up my mileage very quickly after I qualified for my Ironman at a half Ironman, and I was able to put in a long run of about 16 miles about 8 weeks before my Ironman, and I was injured. So I hardly ran at all. So my confidence and my fear going into my first Ironman was not knowing if I could run a marathon, because I never run longer than 16 miles. And it ended up, the marathon was actually the best part of the whole Ironman experience. I barely walked. I hardly even walked the aid stations. And I just felt really good running off the bike. And so I know firsthand experience, not only from what happened to me 20 years ago, but all my 26 years experience training, as well as, you know, 18 years of coaching, that a marathon is not a prerequisite of finishing an Ironman. I think the number one benefit of training for a marathon before an Ironman is mental confidence, but I think the downsides outweigh that one little benefit, and the downsides are, first and foremost, recovery, and just overall training. When you're training for a marathon, you tend to run more, bike, and swim less. So it does take away from triathlon training, and you really are putting a lot of mental focus into training for this marathon, because it's your first one. You want to do it right. You want to have a very positive experience. And then you definitely want to taper and rest going into it. And then the recovery part, you definitely have to take some time, downtime, to make sure you're fully recovered. So again, it just takes away from the training that you might rather be doing for your triathlons, not necessarily the marathon. I think the increase in injury happens when people train for marathons. Even if you feel really good, you do the marathon, you finish, you're on a high, your body needs time to recover. And if you get back into it too much too soon, something that's kind of been giving you issues may kind of explode and give you a full-blown injury, again, taking you out of training for the Ironman, which sounds like is definitely your ultimate goal. So, you know, also the immune system is, you know, lower, the more volume, the more we're training. So you will have a compromised immune system training for the marathon, which again, this can take you out of the Ironman training that you want to do. So I think instead of training for a marathon, before your first Ironman, you should enter a few half Ironman races, because during the half Ironman races, you're still doing quite a bit of swimming and biking. And you're still going to build a lot of confidence at these half Ironman distance races for your Ironman. That's going to definitely benefit you more than the marathon focused training plan. So if you have any more questions, I'd love to hear back from you. Or if anyone listening to this has any comments about their marathon and Ironman training, we'd love to hear from you as well.
And that's going to wrap up episode 225 of the Endurance Hour podcast. You can find all the show notes associated with this episode at endurancehour.com/episode225. If you like your question featured on the show in the future, send us an email to endurancehour@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail from your desktop, laptop, or smartphone at speakpipe.com/endurancehour. For Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week of training, racing, or recovery. We'll see you next time. Adios.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel.
Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.